Good morning, boys and girls. It is the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock at 5:54 in the morning. Kevin and Bean, once again, are off doing butt stuff. But
that's bullshit.
But we're still here cranking out fresh showbiz beats for you each and every hour. And we'll also be taking your calls later on today's show for our What's Good segment. It's just Chip and I.
Yeah, that's all you need, right?
Today. Yeah, this is getting to be like one of those horror movies where a bunch of people go out into the woods and they're at a cabin.
Yeah.
And then one by one, they just start disappearing. First it was Kevin, then Bean. Now Allie's gone.
And Dave is sleeping somewhere.
Dave's sleeping someplace. Just you
he
and me,
he might not be
Chip.
Dead, but he might be just curled up asleep.
You and I huddled in the corner of the cabin waiting for the guy with the hockey mask and the chainsaw to come through the door. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning on the show Biz Beat. Finding Dory, still number one.
Yay!
In its second week, it topped the box office with $73.2 million. Then Independence Day Resurgence debuted to $41.6 million. By all counts, it is just as craptastic
as you'd think.
As you'd imagine, yes. Central Intelligence, third. The Shallows debuted with $16.7 million. Surprised more people didn't want to see Blake Lively eaten by a shark.
Yeah. Well, the clip we played on Friday was so good. It
was terrifying and riveting. It was a bite of an apple. It was fascinating.
It was not a high dialogue movie, I've heard.
A high dialogue movie. Free State of Jones, the new Matthew McConaughey movie. Fifth at the box office, Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and Alice Through the Looking Glass were your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of Roland Emmerich, he is the director of Independence Day Resurgence, as he was the original film. He's crappy. He's crap. He's crap.
He's just crap.
He's crap. He did that Godzilla movie that was awful. It's just a series of bad films that just are big, giant special effects extravaganzas that make a ton of cash, so he keeps working. His next film's already been announced. Roland Emmerich's next movie, no title yet, but here's the plot. What would happen if the Earth's moon suddenly fell out of orbit and headed for Earth? So what would happen if the Earth was going to crash into the moon, or vice versa?
I want a good movie.
Well, you're out of luck. It's a dumb
yeah,
premise.
That's bad.
Because the minute the moon came out of orbit and started heading towards Earth, then gravitational pull would be enormous and we'd all die before it ever got here, so it wouldn't matter. I wonder if they'll address the science of that.
It's science.
I don't think they're going to worry about that. They're going to send somebody up, probably a drill team, some oil drillers to put a bomb in the moon and blow it up.
Aerosmith do some kind of a cheesy ballad.
Maybe Aerosmith will be the team they send up to blow up the moon. That would be a movie I would watch.
Done.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, sad news. Victoria's Secret supermodel Xenia Deli is off the market. Hate to break it to you, boys. Xenia Deli, the lovely, beautiful 26-year-old Victoria's Secret supermodel, got married over the weekend to a 62-year-old man.
Oh.
His name is Osama Fatih Rabah al-Sharif. And he is a 62-year-old man. And surprisingly, he's broke. He is poor. He has no money.
No money? $0?
Oh, wait a minute. He's an Egyptian billionaire.
Come on!
That's what I meant to say. Now, I would have thought a 26-year-old supermodel would marry just a plain old 62-year-old
man. Yeah,
that
has so much in common. I mean,
but it turns out she did. Here's the advice. Be rich.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, if you want the hot ladies, just be rich. Just keep playing the Mega Millions and the Powerball. Nobody won yet. They're up to like, I don't
know, 300.
What, one's like 200 mil, one's 300 mil. Just win that.
Yeah. Just buy tickets to one of each and then just take all the money.
Then get all the supermodels. This is exciting news. George Lucas was famously building a museum dedicated to his career and work. Would have been a lot of cool Star Wars stuff in there and a lot of Indiana Jones and other projects that Lucas was involved with, as well as art. He's a big art aficionado. Would have been an art museum as well. And they were debating on where to put it. Some folks wanted it here in Los Angeles. George, of course, has a history here in L.A. He went to USC Film School. Of course, many of his films, their hearts were out of the Southern California area. But it ended up going to Chicago, largely, I think, because his wife is from that part of the country. But now it's been announced that there won't be a George Lucas Museum on Chicago's waterfront after all. Oh. Friday, George announced they decided to flush the project and is now going to build a museum to hold his art collection here in California. So we win and they lose.
Awesome.
The problem, of course, was that a group calling it Friends of Parks filed a lawsuit against the project when it was announced in 2014, arguing that the project would tarnish the city's lakefront and benefit a private party more than Chicago's residents. They said it would be an eyesore on the lake, and they didn't want it. So the lawsuit...
No!
That's what they said. Vader came out and said no to Lucas. The lawsuit basically put the museum's plans on hold indefinitely, and now Lucas said, you know what? F this. I'm going to go back to California where they'll let me do whatever I want. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said that Chicago has lost a once-in-a-generation opportunity. That is true, Mayor Emanuel, but you also don't have to put anything in your city from Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull either. So you scored there.
Yeah.
You dodged a bullet. Today's celebrity birthdays, J.J. Abrams. Speaking of Lucas and Star Wars, he, of course, now at the helm of that mighty ship. He is 50 years old today. Tobey Maguire turns 41. Khloe Kardashian of the evil Kardashian clan is 32. Actor Ed Westwick is 29. Actress Alana Masterson is 28. And Chandler Riggs, the actor.
Chandler Riggs! Kevin's favorite!
Kevin's favorite! Kill Carl! He is 17 years old.
How do you think Kevin's
today.
Celebrating today?
Probably with pudding.
Probably. Well, that's every day.
One of those Smokey Bear hats. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Daniel Craig was a great James Bond. Wouldn't you agree, Allie, as a lifelong fan of the franchise?
One of my absolute favorites.
Oh, wait, yeah. I forgot. You've never seen a single 007 movie. Well, Daniel Craig, trust me, was great in the four movies he starred in as James Bond. But the news is out this week that he was offered nearly $100 million to come back and reprise his role as James Bond, including endorsements, profit shares, and co-producer credits. $100 million to be Bond. And he said, no, I'm done with it.
How do you turn down $100 million?
I don't know. And you know what? I could see if it were an albatross around his neck, if it were a terrible role that he was embarrassed by and it was going to prevent him from getting other work. But all of the movies have been good. He's been great. And he can go off and do anything he wanted to do. It has done nothing but add to his career. So why not do a couple of more and then go do whatever you want to do?
He was
right?
complaining before this last one came out that it was too much work. That it was six months or whatever, 8 months.
Yeah. So anyway, so now the search is on for new James Bond. There are a bunch of names being bandied about, but we thought, why speculate when we can talk to the man we always go to for all things 007, the original movie James Bond, our friend Sean Connery, who joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Connery.
Good morning, you fenderheads.
It's such a pleasure to have you on. We miss you. We're sorry that you retired from acting. We don't like not being able to see you on the cinema anymore.
Oh, lick it.
even though you've been retired from the role for decades now, I know that you do still pay attention with what happens in the news when it comes to James Bond movies.
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. I created the character. Mm-hmm. So I have a vested interest in what happens to it.
So you saw Daniel Craig and his response to the almost $100 million.
Yes. What a butthead.
You're surprised.
I'm surprised at how stupid he is.
Uh-huh.
And what a girly man he is.
Well, I mean... He's pretty manly in the role as James Bond, though.
Yes. Oh, let me put on my bikini briefs and traipse around in the surf like Nancy.
I thought he did a great job as 007.
I bet you did. You were probably salivating, weren't you?
What about all the talk that Tom Hiddleston, the great actor from the Thor movies and the TV series The Night Manager, what about him as a James Bond? Do you like that idea?
I've crapped larger than Tom Hiddleston.
Well, he's a smaller guy than you are, for sure.
Listen, there's only one answer.
Okay.
All right, I'll come back.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard your name.
All right, I will. Stop begging.
I don't think we were.
Stop begging. I said I'd do it.
Aren't you 85, Mr. Connery?
Yes. Can you imagine the box office receipts when the original James Bond returns at 85?
Well, I mean...
James Bond returns in... Goldwalker.
That would be one way to go, sure.
But I tell you, I have demands. I won't just do it for nothing. You know, when I returned for Diamonds Are Forever, Mm-hmm. They paid me the unheard of salary of $1 million.
That was a lot of money back then, was it?
No. It was just unheard of.
Okay.
No one has ever heard of the number 1 million before. There were dark times.
I would throw the question, John.
So what are your demands?
Everyone's saying, oh, that was a lot of money to be paid for one film.
Right. Yes, it certainly was.
They're offering Daniel Craig $100 million to do the role.
Yeah. Now, is that a lot of money?
That is indeed a lot of money.
Okay, good. Now we go.
Now we have the internet, and we can look such things up.
Okay.
I'm willing to do it for half of that.
Okay, so for $50
million. Return for $50 million, but all it has to be all in pesos.
In pesos? Yeah, why?
I lost a bet to El Chapo, and I have to pay him back.
Okay, all right.
Besides that, I also need whores.
Well, can you get whores with that money?
Of course I could, but why should I pay for them when the studio can?
Okay.
I want whores that represent every race, color, and creed on the planet Earth.
Okay, so
I don't know how many that'd be, but it'd be a lot of whores.
Yeah, it seems like hundreds of ladies would be standing by for
it, Mr. Cotter. I want a Benetton ad of whores.
Okay.
All right. And double up on the Russians. Or two Russians.
They're your favorite. Okay.
Piss off Putin.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I need the Reese's peanut butter cups that have the Reese's pieces in them.
Right? Doesn't that sound great?
I want a Costco pallet of Reese's peanut butter cups with the Reese's pieces in them.
Okay.
Then
there's a lot of candy.
I want someone to remove all the Reese's pieces from the peanut butter cups.
What? Because it's stupid, right?
And replace them all with Viagra.
Oh.
I want Viagra cups.
Okay.
I also...
There's more?
You have a lot of demands.
Well, it's an important role, and they want me back. They'll kowtow.
Okay. All right.
All of James Bond's martinis must be shaken, not stirred, and then strained through Lily from the AT&T commercials' panties.
Oh, wow. Sean. I don't know that we want to get involved in that.
Oh, I want to buy an iPhone from her, you know what I'm saying?
I think you want to buy an iPhone from
her,
right?
I'd like to give her an unlimited data plan.
Again, you're 85 and she's like 30, right?
And lastly, the opening credits of the James Bond films famously have all those images with the girls dancing as the theme song plays over them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the new film, the theme song must be played over the video of my most recent colonoscopy.
What? Nobody wants to see that,
Sean.
I
want everyone to see my bowels.
But nobody else wants to see that.
Look at my bowels.
No.
Look at them.
You going to be okay, Allie?
I don't know. I'm
like you're
really
having trouble
excited.
Breathing right
let's
now.
Let's go.
Our next guest has a distinguished acting career on stage, in films, and on television for more than 50 years. But we're so happy to have him because of a few days' work he did in a movie called The Empire Strikes Back and another called Return of the Jedi. He, ladies and gentlemen, is, was, and will always be Boba Fett. Please welcome actor Jeremy Bullock to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Bullock, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you. Very nice introduction.
We can't believe we're talking to you, and I imagine that you have this thought all the time, which is, it was a few days' work in the 70s and another few days' work in the 80s, yet people will always love me. What's that like for you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny how it sort of came at the right time. I don't know. I was actually in a play in the theater in the West End, but I was doing a play and filming during the day. I was exhausted for about 6 days, but they allowed me to have the time off, which is rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was very lucky, I think.
And your brother, your half-brother, was an associate producer on Star Wars?
Robert Watts, yes. He was associate producer, and he mentioned it. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And you're second, and then you're doing another one after that. And we don't see each other all the time, but it just came out of the blue. He said, well, get your agent onto it. Then you never know. There might be a day or something. I said, a day? And I'm in the theater. I'm not walking around for a day. And we had this great laugh about it. And before I knew what was happening, there was George Lucas saying, it's not a big role, but I think you'll enjoy it. And I thought, oh.
Wow.
And I looked at the outfit, and I said, God, that's scary. Can I do it? But luckily, I was asked to do it. It was actually only about 7 days. But I had such fun. It was a terrific, terrific outfit.
Jeremy can be seen in a new documentary that is in theaters and on demand called Elstree 1976. And that is a confusing title for people, but Elstree was the studio where the movie was made in 1976. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Yeah.
And I got the impression from all of the people, and this is a movie that talks not only to well, you know, people who are now well known because of their roles, like you and David Prowse, who was Darth Vader, but it also talks to X-wing fighters, and it talks to stormtroopers, and it talks to people in the cantina. And I got the impression that nobody knew, had any idea what they were getting into. It was just a job for many of them at the time.
Yeah, and as an actor, it is. It's another job. You know, you either get it or you don't. You know, sometimes you're terribly lucky because you've gone in bouncing the right way and not walked backwards or something silly. And it was that one of those days, and I said, how do you do? And you were chatting to different people. And I think for a lot of people, they had such a good time and were thrilled to bits that they were playing something, sometimes not even speaking, but at least they were part of it.
So you came from the theater and they basically handed you a bucket and said, put this on your head.
Yes, the bucket, yes.
What was your response to that?
I said, I'll just have to check that I look good in this.
Okay, all right. So what are you thinking behind the mask, Jeremy, in the various times that you appear in those films? I mean, how much acting are you able to do when we can't see you?
Well, that's actually an interesting thing. The great thing is with Boba Fett, who's merciless. He's an absolute animal, really, but he's also charming. I think he would be charming. And putting the outfit on and standing there, it's much better to just stand still rather than move around pointing a gun all the time. So I used to just stand still.
I could do that.
Not like Jeremy.
I don't think you could. It's a good try, but I don't think so.
Right. Jeremy Bullock's my favorite. Now, in the documentary, which I had no idea what happens at these conventions, but people basically line up to get your autographs, just to talk to you, share stories. But I had no idea of the jealousy of people that are in the movie that are like, well, my face is on the screen. He's just wearing a bucket on his head. Were you aware of all of that happening?
Well, sort of in the background somewhere, but, you know, you have to laugh that off. And I said, well, I'm off doing a television play after this is finished. You know, I said, you go theatre, television, film, you know, and I was lucky. I started when I was 12.
Wow.
Really sort of went from job to job to job to job. And in between, I was painting people's houses. So Well, no, you have to do that. My father, I remember saying, he said, I hate actors and, you know, and it's terrible, you know. And he wasn't too keen on me having a theatrical career because he said it can all go wrong. Yes, it can, but you've got to keep up. Oh, come on, I'll earn a bit of money here doing this. And then you have a spell of 6 weeks in a play, then a film. So I just think I was lucky, but you have to put the effort in.
We're talking to actor Jeremy Bullock here on the Kevin Amin Show. Again, the documentary is called Elstree 1976. You can see it at the NoHo 7. You can also see it on demand. If you just look it up, you'll find out where it is. What's your relationship like now with Star Wars fans that want to talk to you, Jeremy, when they meet you and recognize you?
Well, I think the relationship is very good and has always remained, you know, a lot of laughs and giggles. These people come to see the show, to come and see it and get an autograph, and they say, hi, Mr. Bullock, you know, really great to see you. Thanks so much for being. And they're also very polite, you know. They don't sort of go, oh, this is ridiculous. What's happening? I can't even get near my favorite actor or favorite lady actress. They're very polite, and that's what I like about it.
People sure love Boba Fett, even though you have just a few minutes on screen. What is it about that character that you think has captured the imagination all these decades later?
I think it's a lovable rogue, if you put it like that. He's not nasty. He's not violent. He's just a lovable rogue. He knows that he can destroy anybody he wants, but he keeps it nice and gentle and that's why he lives longer.
I think that's why I relate to him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like a lovable rogue.
Are you?
Yeah, I could kill you at any moment, but I choose not to.
Is it a lovable roguess?
I believe it would be a roguess. Very nice.
My last question for you, Mr. Bullock, and that is, I know that you came back to work on one of the prequels. You were in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, as a different character. Were you stunned at that time when prequels were made, when all those years after you thought the franchise had been put to bed, it roared back to life?
Yeah. No, I was completely stunned by the whole thing, but I was asked to play this part of Captain Colton. They just got a name for him, and I was standing up there again. I thought, how nice. It was like a serial. Each week you might come back as somebody else. And that was nice for them to invite me back just to, again, playing a small scene. But mm-hmm. that's what it was, you know, doing it. If they asked you to do something, and you'd always say yes because it was such a memorable time.
Well, I think it's so interesting in the film, Elm Street 1976, the documentary that Mr. Bullock appears in, that at some point someone says that a quarter of the people on planet Earth have seen the original Star Wars franchise. And that means that everyone in the world knows Boba Fett and will cherish those movies, and they'll live on long after all of us are gone. Jeremy, you are a part of film history, my friend.
Well, thank you very much indeed. And you're next.
Oh, whoa, that took a turn.
Thank you, Jeremy. All the best to you, sir.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Remember on Death Corner a few weeks ago, I did you the story about the woman in China who got into an elevator and it got stuck.
Yeah. Yes.
And she died in that elevator. She was there for a month before somebody came. And the part about the story that I will never forget, will never leave my mind, is that there were scratch marks on the wall of her trying to get out of the elevator.
Sounds like
and
a scary
it's
movie.
The it worst. Does.
It is the worst.
Are and you guys scared of elevators?
I'm not at all.
Not until that story a few weeks ago.
I am not at all. However, millions of passengers every day around the world take elevator rides, and sometimes you get stuck in an elevator, and almost all of the time, you're fine. You're stuck for a couple of minutes. Sometimes they got to call maintenance. Worst case scenario, they got to call the fire department, but 99.99999% of the people who get stuck in elevators are fine. That doesn't mean it's not scary when you're in there. It doesn't mean you don't get hot. You start sweating. You start worrying about what's going
to
happen.
You start looking at who you're going to eat if you have to come right to that, who you can take.
And I will tell you, I do think, and I bet you guys are the same way, when you get onto an elevator and it is way packed, mm-hmm. You it does cross your mind, oh my God, what if this is the time the elevator stops because it's so uncomfortable already? Just riding to the 8th floor is uncomfortable. If I have to be in here for a few minutes or longer, I'm going to freak out.
I don't have that at all.
It doesn't bother you?
Nope.
You don't think about that when you get into a packed elevator?
Nope.
That's weird.
I don't, but a lot of people, I understand a lot of people do.
Elevators are in the news a lot right now. Ralph brought us that story the other day of, was it Dave Navarro, who was in an elevator that fell, that dropped 10 floors. Yeah, and he ended up being okay. And then there was the USC football players. Zach Banner tweeted out that they were stuck in an elevator. And I think this was their fault, by the way, because 8 linemen got into an elevator at one time, which had to far exceed the weight that is allowed in that elevator.
They were 700 pounds overweight. 700 pounds.
So they're fine, by the way, but they did tweet out, I guess they decided to make the most of waiting for rescue, and they tweeted out them, singing a little song?
It's the elevator rat. It's the elevator rat.
They're taking it well.
They're having the best time, right?
They're not panicking.
It's not bad. No.
Let's start with Aubrey. She's on line 4, Los Angeles, please.
Good morning. I'm not a he, but I'm a he, but that's all right.
Okay.
All right. Your name is Aubrey, though, right?
It is.
Okay. So it's pretty much on you. All right. So you're where in an elevator?
We are in Brazil, out in the middle of the countryside, way far away from, like, any city. And there's about 10 or 12 of us stuck in an elevator. All family members ranging from kids age 3 all the way up to, like, adults, including 2 women who were pregnant.
Oh.
One of them got claustrophobic, and about 15 minutes later, she decided to puke, and we were still stuck all in the elevator with this nice smell.
That's not
so
what
listen
you
to
want.
This, you guys. 12 people, 2 of them are pregnant, 1 of them is vomiting, plus little kids. That is a nightmare. How long were you guys stuck in that elevator?
About 45 minutes to an hour.
And how long did it seem to you, Aubrey?
Like an eternity. The smell. Like, I couldn't get past the smell. I almost got sick myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awful. That is awful. All right, last question. Kevin said the first thing he would think is look around and figure out which one you're going to eat if you guys get stuck in there. Did you pick somebody out?
Yeah, the big guy who got on last.
Right?
The most meat.
You got the most
exactly,
meat.
Right. Yeah, you can feed the whole rest of the elevator. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Alex, he or she, whichever, is on line six in Long Beach. Let's see what's going on with Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So this time last year in Washington, D.C., me and a friend and I got stuck in probably one of the deepest elevator shafts that was built in this city.
How deep?
I thought it'd be funny to jump up and down the elevator, not knowing that the sensor would get set off and we would get stuck.
Wait,
that
sets off a sensor?
Well, apparently in this elevator it does, but I mean...
Why would you do that?
I was trying to scare my coworker. I thought it'd be funny to jump and down.
Mission accomplished. I imagine that you scared her.
Oh, maybe an hour and a half later when the fire department is coming across the other elevator with a ladder just to put another ladder down into the elevator.
Wow.
She probably wouldn't stop crying till probably like the next 45 minutes.
Wow. How long were you and your deep shaft stuck in that elevator?
Probably about 3 hours or so, I would believe.
3 hours?
Yeah. If you actually like Wikipedia, it's like one of the deepest like metro stations in the world. So.
I'm not going to look it up. Got to be honest. I'll
take your word for it. Glad you called, Alex. Thanks for the call. So that's just from him nonsensing around, just jumping up and down. He caused that, right?
Just trying to scare his coworker.
Let's face it. Most of the times, it's out of your control. You have no control over what happens to the elevator, but this guy caused it. All right. Yeah. Let's try Ryan in Buena Park.
All right. Easter 2010, Easter Sunday, my wife goes into labor, and we go to St. Joseph's Hospital, and I don't know if you remember, but we had a big earthquake that day. That was the last big one we had.
Okay.
And we had gone through the ER, and the maternity ward's kind of high up on St. Joseph's. So we get in the elevator. There's a cop in the elevator with a guy who's just squirming around under restraint.
Oh,
excellent.
And all of a sudden, the earthquake happens when we're at about between the fourth and fifth floor, and the sensor goes off, and we are just stuck. And immediately, my wife's in labor. She's huffing and puffing, and the guy... either he's mentally ill or high on drugs, I don't know what he was, wets himself and then just starts screaming and trying to get out of the restraints.
Oh, dear and, Lord.
Yeah, we were there for about 20 minutes. And
your wife was in labor the whole time for all 20 minutes, and that guy was screaming for all 20 minutes?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. And on top of that, her water broke about 15 minutes in.
That was a wet elevator.
So, it was a slip and slide. It was a good time. but you know, baby was healthy. Everything was good. But it was honestly, it was my personal hell for 20 minutes because I was completely helpless. Even the cop looked at me like, we are screwed right now.
But your kid is going to have such an awesome story to tell about the day here she was born, right? I mean, that's quite a delivery.
Mental illness and earthquakes go together like, you know. chocolate and sundaes, you know?
Right.
Okay. That's a good takeaway from today's show. All right. Thank you for calling, sir. Well done.
6:54 on KROQ FM 106.7. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean are taking a little time.
Kevin and Bean not included.
A little me time. Meanwhile, I am still here bringing you showbiz beats each and every hour. Plus, later on in the show, we will be taking your phone calls for our segment called What's Good, where you tell us what we should be talking about here on the air. And then also later, we'll be doing a live game that you can win tickets to an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond, the new Star Trek movie. We'll be doing a game for those tickets, and you also qualify to see the movie in San Diego as well. So all good things yet to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning. Let's kick things off as we do each Monday morning on the Showbiz Beat with the top 10 movies at the box office. Finding Dory in its second week once again crushed the competition with another $73.2 million. Independence Day Resurgence debuted with $41.6 million. I think that has to be a disappointment for Independence Day because I think they thought a lot of people wanted to see the exact same film again without Will Smith. But apparently people didn't. Central Intelligence was third. The Shallows debuted with $16.7 million. Free State of Jones, the new Matthew McConaughey movie, was fifth. Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2,
X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and Alice Through the Looking Glass were your top 10 movies at the box office. You know me. You know I like The Bachelorette.
What?
I like The Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise. The Bachelor in Paradise. Give it, bring it all. Give it to me all. Love it all. But now, I gotta say, my love for The Bachelorette has just... There's a taint on it now.
Just like taint?
There's a taint on my love. Because this week, Justin Bieber announced he is also a Bachelorette fan.
Oh.
It makes it hard. It makes it hard on a pimp out here. In fact, he showed himself watching the show via video on Instagram Saturday. And he said, "Don't judge me." Yeah, we're judging you, but not for that reason. In case you're wondering, guess who... This makes me feel a little better. Guess who the Beeb was rooting for... In The Bachelorette.
The D-bag Daniel, the male model.
No, close. Who's the worst person in The Bachelorette?
Oh, Chad.
Chad. He was rooting for Chad.
Of course he
was. He was Team Chad. Of course he was. Now I feel good again because he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Rooting for another douchebag. So I get to represent the people who aren't douchebags watching The Bachelorette. BET Awards were this weekend. Gave Southern California's economy a little boost to everybody flying in for the BET Awards. Especially the Ace of Diamonds, L.A., and Crazy Girls. Apparently, we're very busy this week. And if you're not familiar, those are two adult establishments that provide ladies who perform exotic dance, if you will. They shake their moneymakers. They show what their mama gave them.
I thought my club was more busy than usual.
But here's the thing. You should be upset as a dancer, Chip.
It's beginning of Thursday, remember?
That's right. Is that both clubs hired special talent from outside the city for all the rappers in town. They flew in over 50 dancers from other cities for the BET Awards.
Oh, those dicks.
They outsourced our strippers. What about the local strippers?
Right?
They need the money. They need someone to make it rain on them. Why do you go to Vegas or Florida, wherever you imported these hussies from? What happened to our homegrown Los Angeles strippers? Why don't they get the love? Makes me furious. I'm going to go Trump. I'm going to go Trump for the strippers. I'm going to build a wall around Vegas. No strippers will be let out.
Sit down.
I'm going to make Vegas pay for it. It's going to be the greatest stripper plan ever. And I know strippers. It's going to be very, very, very beautiful and huge strippers.
I think people would actually vote for that.
That's the one promise he could make that I would actually believe he would follow through on. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of celebrity birthday, in the last hour, I mentioned the name Khloe Kardashian, who's celebrating a birthday today. Which, because of that, I received this fiery email from Jennifer of Anaheim. Please don't mention a Kardashian's birthday. They are not worth the airtime. Save that for when you announce their deaths. I think she has a point. Jennifer, your fiery email is well taken and appropriate, and I will cross off that name right off my list. But the rest of the celebrity birthdays go like this. J.J. Abrams is 50 years old today. Speaking of the Star Trek franchise, Star Trek and Star Wars, now he's ahead of them both. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's 50. Tobey Maguire is 41. Ed Westwick turns 29 years old today. Lana Masterson, lovely and talented actress, is 28. And Chandler Riggs, our boy Carl, he's 17 years old today. Still alive on that
Still
show?
Alive. Still alive. Much to Kevin's chagrin.
Yeah. Well, look, it's always next season.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The guy's name is Lucas Graham, but the band's name is also Lucas Graham, and they are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, boys. How are you?
We're good.
Very good, thank you.
And are you still surprised? I know you guys have been around for a couple of years now, but and you've been playing a lot in America recently. Are you still surprised at how well received you are by American audiences? Those people were going crazy last night.
Yeah, we get quite surprised, and we're an 11-hour flight away from home. On the direct connection, it would take around about 16 or 24 to get there if you were stopping somewhere. So when you're that far away from home, you're not really expecting anything. And I think that's what makes it magical.
Yeah.
You step onto the stage or you walk into the room, you're not expecting anything, and you get this massively positive response from everyone in the room.
It's amazing.
It's really lovely.
It is amazing, and I was thinking about this yesterday because your song has been number one for several weeks down in Australia, for instance. I mean, you couldn't be further away in the world from Denmark than Australia yet. Yeah. But if you walked down the street, you'd be hearing that song coming out of every radio. I mean, it just has to – you never imagine that, I don't think, when you're sitting in a room writing a song or recording a song, that it's going to have that kind of reach, I bet.
No, you definitely don't. But it's lovely to see that the music that is heartfelt, the music that we worked hard on is getting airplay and is being listened to around the world. It's very rewarding.
When you guys were coming up in Denmark, which, by the way, I've been to Copenhagen a couple times and I love it so much. It's one of my favorite cities in Europe. But when you guys were coming up, are there role models for musicians? Like, I know the Ravenettes, I guess, came out of Denmark, but
we passed them a while ago.
are there a lot of musical acts that I'm not familiar with that have come out that have been very successful around the world from Denmark that you could look at and go, hey, they did it, well, so I can do it?
There is Mø that had the number one Lean On song with Major Lazer. She's a lovely performer, a lovely songwriter.
Then, the thing you probably would know the best from Denmark is Barbie Girl, Aqua. If you know that song.
Oh, I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie Girl.
I would have to say that the biggest guy to look up to coming out of Denmark is actually Bent Fabricius Bjerre, who won a Grammy in the 1950s with Alley Cat.
Ah, that's right.
I remember that song.
And the funny story about this one is that Bent was up against Elvis Presley to win this Grammy.
Yeah.
So he thought, you know what, I'm not going to fly to America for the Grammys because Elvis is going to win anyway. So he's sitting at home and then someone comes by his house and says, oh, Bent, I just heard on the radio you won a Grammy. Why aren't you there? And Bent was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. He still thinks he's kidding, probably.
Well, he's still alive. He's like 98. He still plays the piano. Still plays, acts in movies. He's a legend.
Aww.
But we all agree the Grammys made the right choice then, right? Because who the F is Elvis Presley, right?
What happened to that guy?
According to Men in Black, he went home.
On top of a lot of American stuff, Luca.
Yeah, no kidding.
You get movies over there in Denmark?
Well, we do have television, you know.
Oh, interesting.
So you guys have known each other a long time. The band?
10, 11 years.
And are we talking high school?
Yeah. Yes. Mark, and the drummer, and I, he doesn't have a mic because we don't like him talking in interviews.
Understood.
He should have a mic because his nickname is Lovestick. And I would like to get into this. Okay. Does that just have to do with the sticks of the drums? Yeah. What's happening?
I mean, Lucas came up with this name. I don't know. I think it has something to do with
Well, his second name though is almost Stick. So Mark Stick.
Okay.
And then he's a really big fan of what?
Questlove.
Lovely drummer.
Oh, there you go.
So
sure.
Questlove. Okay. Passion for the drums and the drumstick.
Okay.
Love Stick.
It all makes sense now. I went into
the
direction.
The only better one is Mr. Magnus here, who plays the bass. He's called Magnum.
Oh, nice.
Because he goes deep.
Go on.
By the way,
on the bass, of course.
Oh, okay.
Love Stick and Magnum both sound more like Tinder names than they do nicknames for a rock band. I think you're going to be very successful. The album, by the way, comes out in America tomorrow. I was mentioning earlier that I've heard a couple of other tracks from the album, and I was so pleasantly surprised how different the songs I heard were from 7 years. And that is to your credit, gentlemen, that you got a lot of different – you cover a lot of ground on this record.
Well, we've been writing songs, like me and Don Stefano, my main co-writer, we've been writing songs since the first year of high school, so nearly 11 years now. And you just kind of end up having a lot of, I don't know, in our way of writing songs, we want diversity, we want adversity. And the whole idea of having one big crybaby record just never appealed to me. I mean, there are so many love song records. You can put them on, you can cry for 35 minutes on end. But that's not what we're about. We're about giving people fun and loving emotions. Like, yeah, you can cry at a show, but mostly you dance and laugh.
Yeah, I think people...
Don't tell Adele.
It's worked out for her, though. I think people will be surprised when they see Lucas Graham in concert because, like you said, you guys have lots of upbeat, like really fun songs.
It's a rock and roll show.
Now, because of the – I know 7 years was a very personal song for you to write, and you've spoken very eloquently in interviews about how, you know, it has to do with your dad passing away, unfortunately relatively young. Do you hear from fans who connect it to things that happen in their own life, and it becomes a very personal thing for them as well.
Yeah, I think that's what it may, it's the largest, I don't know, connecting point in our music is definitely that heartfelt emotion of, yeah, 7 years, happy home, mama said, you're not there. It's just real stories about real people. Like, we're just four ordinary guys, and the people we're performing for, I presume, are ordinary people too. And yeah, I think the age aspect of 7 years makes it very easy for people to place themselves in some kind of a category in the song and, like, look at their own life through my lyrics.
But you're so young to be thinking about how you're going to feel when you're 40, when you're 50,
you Americans
when you're 60.
And your focus on age.
Well, I'm just saying a lot of people your age, Lucas, are not thinking at all about what their life is going to be like when they're 60 years old and what regrets they're going to have and how much time they have. I mean, those are pretty deep thoughts for a young man.
Maybe Lucas is a lot deeper than you think, Bean.
Well, apparently
maybe
so.
Give him a little credit.
Apparently
he's
so.
He's a deep thinker. He has deep thoughts.
You could say I've been through a lot of things in my life, and experience and age aren't the same thing, as we always say to the older women at our concerts.
Mm-hmm. Why do you look at me? That
got weird. That was a compliment, by the way.
Oh,
by the
okay.
way.
Lovestick is looking for you on Tinder right now.
No, I've traveled around South America. I studied law. You know, I've lost my father. I've had my friends go to jail, and so you end up having a lot of experience in life, and that makes it easier to write these deep, deep songs.
Last month, you guys were kind enough to visit us down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space and recorded a few numbers live. By the way, we have that up at krock.com. You can actually watch the band Lucas Graham performing live.
It's a well-sounding room.
It's a beautiful room. We love it so much. And you guys did a great job with a number of songs. But we want to play for people who maybe haven't heard the live version of 7 Years. Lucas Graham is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And this is what they sounded like just a few weeks ago in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Listen up.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old, it was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. Once I was 11 years old. I always had that dream like my daddy before me. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me. Cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. Before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. I only see my goals, I don't believe in failure. Cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor. And if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. I was frightened by everything I saw before me. Once I was 20 years old. Soon we'll be 30 years old. Our songs have been sold. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory. Some I had to leave behind, my brother, I'm still sorry. Soon I'll be
60 years old. My daddy got 61. Remember life, and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I rode a little once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. So now they're 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold, or will I have a lot of children who can warm me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
That's what he sounded like, and the band sounded like live in the Red Bull Soundspace last month here at K-Rock. No studio trickery, by the way.
We sound better now.
Really? Listening to that, you don't think you sounded as good?
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It was a great performance.
It was okay.
That was a good take.
I
asked the guys during the song there how many songs they have, because I was just wondering. You know, they've been around. I mean, they're new to a lot of our listeners, but you guys have been, you know, playing together for 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Oh, but now you're rephrasing the question, though.
Yes.
You asked how many songs we had, not as a band. As a band, we've got around about 30.
All right.
But me personally, I have more than 1,000 songs I've never tried to record and release because they're simply not good enough.
More than 1,000?
Yeah.
Are some of them just like an idea for a song, like just a title or just one lyric or something like that? Or are these songs you actually at some point sat down and wrote out 20 lines on?
No, I'd say probably half of them are between half and two-thirds songs rather than like full-length three verses and all that. But yeah, you could say they're all full enough to be considered
a song.
A song. Well, they're all full enough, so if you opened up the book, you'd be able to like rewrite it or finish it. And it's a nice inspiration to go 8 years back in time or 12 years back in time. I started writing lyrics when I was 12, but I started writing songs in the style I'm doing now when I was 20. So for the past 7 years, I've just been compiling lyrics. So I can, when I'm bored, I can just look through the lyrics and find a nice song to rewrite and make better.
That is so interesting to me because there are so many songwriters for whom the craft is sweating blood. Like it's almost impossible to get an idea and to get started. But it sounds like you have so many ideas coming at you from so many different places that it's a question of capturing them all.
Well, there's this lovely quote in the Bible, and I'm not religious now, but this is the closest thing you get to what is inspiration. Inspiration is basically to be filled with the voice of God. That's what the Latin word means. And that's the whole thing. Be silent and know that I am God. It's knock and the door will be opened. Search and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. If you can set yourself in that silent mode where all the commotion of the world doesn't exist to you, you can grasp inspiration. You can grab it from nowhere and pull it down onto pieces of paper. And you can leave the room with something. Like you can go into a room and have nothing and walk out of there and have something. And that's the amazing thing about the creative process.
Amen, Lucas Graham.
Amen, you guys. The album is available everywhere. The band is Lucas Graham. It's been a real pleasure having you stop by the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about B-Hole Beauty.
Are they on tour this summer? Chip, are they going out with your band, B-Hole Beauty? What do you know about B-Hole Beauty, Kevin?
Well, I mean, it's a medical thing that you can go to this man's office, and he will make your B-Hole be much more attractive.
Okay.
And who doesn't want that?
When you aim to look your best, that goal includes all aspects of your physical appearance. With this philosophy of mine, cosmetic anal rejuvenation, ladies and gentlemen, benefits the consummate perfectionist who wants a customized, clean aesthetic throughout his or her body. Apparently, it is desirable for a number of reasons. So we wanted to find out more about cosmetic anal procedures. Like, what can they possibly do to it to make it look better? Like, I don't even know where you start in a reconstruction process like that. Do you?
I don't, but we have somebody who does on the phone.
All right. This is going to be Dr. Sven Jorgensen. He is from Rectal Heaven Clinic. Hello, Dr. Jorgensen. Welcome to the program,
sir. Good morning.
Sir.
How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Welcome to Rectal Heaven.
Where is Rectal Heaven? Is that in Southern California?
Yeah, we're in Beverly Hills.
So what's involved in complete rectal beauty?
Well, you know, so many people look at other orifices on their body, and they care about them, and they take care of them, you know. You adorn the ears with earrings. Mm-hmm. You put eye makeup on. You want your lips to look good.
Right.
Sure. Don't forget about the anus, is what we say here at Rectal Heaven. Don't forget about the anus.
The anus, right, okay.
Okay.
So, but I guess what I was asking before we got you on the phone, sir, and I apologize for my ignorance, is I don't know what's possibly available to make that part of your body look better. It seems to me it just kind of is what it is.
No, not at all is what is.
Okay.
You have to remember that part of your body often is going through constant stretching and then
right.
going back together again.
Right.
And then stretching and go back together
right.
again.
Right.
And, you know, with age, as skin stretches, it doesn't bounce back always as nicely as before it did.
Okay.
So we can tighten that area up with anal rejuvenation. And we'll just, snip, snip, cut, cut, tie, tie.
Uh-huh.
And we can use many different procedures to make it look a new look for your anus.
Mm-hmm.
It's more beautiful than ever, and people will be going, wow, look at that anus.
It says here that it's done for aesthetic purposes when an individual wants to achieve a new look that is elegant and refined.
Right, yeah, what? You want a nice, good anus for people to look at and say, oh, let me get a selfie with that.
But
I don't
general,
think people are doing that.
In general, you don't show people your beehole. That just doesn't happen so that they can go, wow, that's beautiful.
Well, that's maybe sad for you.
Okay.
You don't have good friends. Yeah, I'm not sure what it says about you, but a lot of people around here come to me and say, I want a nice-looking anus.
Ha, huh, how about that?
So we have many procedures of doing. We're in the clinic now. We start early in the morning. We're
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to interrupt if you're with a patient,
That's
doctor.
That's fine. She's happy to show you. I'm just hammering out some spots here that needs. She got a few dents. There's a few dents, so first
Whoa.
We hammer. Use a
hammer?
Oh, you were knocking on the door? You're on her beehole?
Oh, yeah, that's me with a hammer. You got to flatten out the dents before you put the Bondo in.
Oh, damn.
That's a sander. We got a belt sander.
That sounds so painful.
Painful, yeah.
Oh, no. We pump her full of drugs. She's fine.
All right.
But we take... Yeah.
Is that a saw?
Yeah, there's a few things that have to be cut off here. That's,
wow.
There's a carbuncle over there.
She would not be pleased that you're doing an interview during her procedure.
She's gone, conscious.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Is that a drill?
Yeah, we're tightening up the lug nuts. We have one of those things you use in race car driving, you know, when
right,
it's
yeah.
it spins.
Where are the lug nuts?
Right there, you
okay,
know?
Right there, okay. Right there. All right.
They're going right. to...
What's that? I'm afraid of the answer to this one. What is that?
It's just sometimes I bring in some guys and we stretch the skin a little bit. We got to pull back and forth and it makes that seesaw sound.
Okay.
Eventually, it tightens things up and then...
Whoa.
That's a bionic butthole right there.
Oh.
Sometimes we got to place the whole thing. You got to put in a new part, you know. You can't help it.
No.
But now she can do amazing things with that anus, I got to tell you. It's a sphincter for the ages.
I love celebrities because they are willing to name their kids such effed up stuff. So Chief Keith says he talked to the baby mama and they agreed that their baby should be named Snow, S-N-O, Filmon.com, Filmon.com, Cozart, which is his real last name.
Hmm.
And Filmon.com is the record company that...
Yeah, so as a means of album promotion, it used to be that rappers would walk onto the stage at award shows with a sign that says, my new record is dropping on September 18th. Now they're taking it to the next level and naming a kid, again, Snow, Filmon.com. That's the kids' first and middle names. Let's see what you got. Let's go with, we got so many good ones. Let's go with Janine, line 40, get us going up in Santa Clarita. Hey, Janine, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Hi.
So you're the one responsible for this name.
Well, me and my husband, yes.
Right, okay.
All right. Confess.
Yeah, son, you named your son what?
Dexter Danger. Dexter's his first name, Danger is his middle name.
And I get that everybody thinks it's funny. Oh, Danger truly is my. I get that you would do that, but Dexter Danger, what are you going for there?
Well, somebody had given me the suggestion to actually name his middle name Danger. My husband and I were like, oh, no.
You know why? Because that's a terrible idea.
No.
I mean, it's a funny. It's a funny joke. It's a funny punchline.
How old is Dexter?
He's 22 months.
He's going to get beat up a lot. Because of your name.
Thank you, Janine. We got to go. Let's go to Miriam and Glendora, please, on line 5. Thank you for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hi there.
Oh, hi. I've been in banking for 20 years, so I've seen, like, everything. And these are legal names, like, on their IDs.
Okay.
I helped a tequila. I helped a Stanky. I helped a Smurfette.
Wait. So Stanky and Smurfettes were first names or last names?
No, Smurfette was her first name.
Oh, Allie, you're so jealous.
I kind of like that.
Miriam, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Tim writes in, a friend teaches and one of her students is, and I'm not kidding, first name Cash, middle name Money, last name Stacks. How about that? That guy is going to be a rapper and he's going to be rich. Let's go to line 7, please. Irvine, California, and Eric listening in. Hi, Eric. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
So I have a recruiter in Orange County that her name is Rolla Weed.
No. How do you spell Rolla? Like
R-O-L-L-A. Rolla Weed.
Love it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jason Ukaipa, line 8 up next. Now, this is a perfect example of you already have an unfortunate last name. Do you make it worse by linking it to this first name? Jason, what do you know?
Hey, yeah, a long time ago, I had a client in my retail store I worked at. Her name was Anita Dick.
All right.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Jason. Jason. Yeah. Did you know this person?
No. I used to, it was a jewelry store, and I used to take in all the repair work, and so I interacted with her, and her name actually was Anita Dick.
And did you, I guess you wouldn't, you know, want to alienate a client by asking questions about it, but you had to have wondered why, if her last name was Dick, her parents gave her the Anita, or maybe she married into, maybe she married a Mr. Dick.
Yeah.
In which case, she should have kept her maiden name.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's, no. Anita Dick is rough, man. That's rough. I mean, Allie has that tattooed on her chest, but
right.
I mean,
for
someone to go through as a name, that's tough.
Right.
All right, thank you for the call. This is great. Wow. Let's go to Gillian, please, on line 1, Sherman Oaks.
Hey, so my grandfather is buried next to Harry Weiner, and on his headstone it says, "How did I get so lucky?"
And he's talking about dying because he had to go through life with a name like Harry Weiner.
Exactly. So we always get a good kick when we have to go visit my grandfather at the cemetery.
Well, they provide you with a little lightheartedness
in
that serious situation.
Exactly.
Nothing more fun than a day with the grave. Thank you.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ FM, 7:53 on a Monday morning. And then there were two.
There was two.
Just me, your old radio pal Ralph, and Chip the Wonder Monkey behind the board. We had Allie McKay last week when Kevin and Bean were gone. Allie's got a day off today as well. So we are here bringing you the showbiz beat. And after the top of the hour, we're going to throw open the phone lines. And we're going to talk to you about what we're not talking about on the radio. Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show with a segment we call What's Good?
What's Good?
You call in at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. And tell us what's on your mind. Maybe you want to talk something you did over the weekend. Maybe you want to talk Brexit. Come on, with the Brexit, right?
So Brexit.
Maybe you want to talk sports. I mean, anything that's on your mind. Maybe you saw one of the new movies over the weekend. We'd love to hear from you and have you keep us company here in the studio, me and Chip slaving away. By the way, a little incentive, the best What's Good caller, we're going to give away a little prize. Got a little something to give you. It's kind of cool. So that may be an extra added incentive to have you call in after the top of the hour at 1-800-520-1067 for What's Good. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Finding Dory in its second week, still number one at the box office. $73.2 million. Yeah, it's pretty strong. Independence Day Resurgence? Question mark? And its debut made $41.6 million. And that movie cost a lot to make. I don't think that's very good. Yeah, Central Intelligence was third. The Shallows with Blake Lively. in a bikini. That should have gotten more people in the theater.
Right?
She gets bit by a shark, but come on. 16.7 million made it number four. Free State of Jones was fifth. Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows was ninth, and then at number 10, Alice Through the Looking Glass. I've got some breaking news.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Thank you, Allie. Al Pacino has announced he's returning to Broadway next season. He had sort of a failed, well, it wasn't really a failure. It was selling out, but the critics said it was not a very good show. He was doing a new Mamet play on Broadway this year called China Doll. But apparently he's going back to Broadway again. He's going to star as legendary playwright Tennessee Williams.
Oh, Kevin's favorite.
That's right. Kevin loves Tennessee Williams. It's a new play called When God Looked Away. And he will be co-starring with Tony Winter, Judith Light. They'll be on stage. Now, a workshop begins this week here in Los Angeles. I want to find out where that is.
Oh, you got to go, man.
I got to go. Al Pacino doing a southern accent. Nothing's better than Al Pacino doing a southern accent. Remember Son of a Woman? Ooh, I burn this place down. Come on, him as Tennessee Williams, the playwright? Oh, Streetcar Named Desire. Ooh, oh, Glass Menagerie. Ooh, ah. Oh, I got to find out where it's workshopping, and I want to be in the front row. See me, little Al. Speaking of returning to the stage, Axl Rose returned to his day job. Thursday night, Guns N' Roses kicked off its Not In This Lifetime stadium tour in Detroit. The Detroit News says the band hit the stage at 9:30 p.m. on the dot.
What?
You heard me. That's usually Axel's breakfast time. He gets up for his first meal around 9:43 p.m. Axel was not only punctual, he was standing up. No throne, no crutches. The broken foot is healed. He can do his patented side shuffle again. Take me down to Paradise City.
Bitchin'.
And apparently they said his voice was better than ever. Guns N' Roses did a 21-song set, 3 encores, ending the night with Paradise City. And there were no Fat Axel memes to be seen. Aww. So,
well, the morning's still young.
It all worked out. And this may be my favorite music story of the week. Country music star Kenny Chesney was performing in my hometown, Philadelphia, on Saturday night. And he was addressing the crowd, talking about a police officer named Officer Christopher Dorman from nearby Fulcroft, PA, who had been shot 7 times in the line of duty. And Kenny Chesney told the crowd that he had heard that Officer Dorman was a big Kenny Chesney fan. And he was very sorry that Officer Dorman was shot and killed in the line of duty. So he dedicated the show to Officer Dorman, shot and killed in the line of duty in Fulcroft, Pennsylvania. Here's the only problem. Officer Fulcroft was sitting in the hospital very much alive.
Oops.
When he got the news that Kenny had dedicated the show to him because he was dead. Turns out, Officer Dorman was shot 7 times but survived and was healing in the hospital when he got the news that Kenny Chesney told everyone in Philadelphia that he was dead.
Fail! Kenny, epic fail.
Kenny felt bad and promised Christopher that once he was feeling better, they'd go to a football game and grab some beers together. Hey, Kenny Chesney, a-hole, you're like a gazillionaire. Do a little better than that for a cop who was shot 7 times. Beer in a football game? I can do beer in a football game. Country Western. Ass. Okay. Again, just after the top of the hour, we're going to be doing What's Good, taking your phone calls about anything you want to talk about. Anything that's on your mind, we'd love to have you on the air. Call us 1-800-520-1067 for What's Good. And as I mentioned, best call gets a little something, a little prize we're going to throw in there for you. Today's celebrity birthdays, J.J. Abrams is 50 years old today. Tobey Maguire turns 41. Ed Westwick, 29 years old. Alana Masterson, 28 years old. And Chandler Riggs, that's right, Carl from Walking Dead. He's 17 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:05 in the a.m. Kevin and Bean spent a little time away from the microphone this week. However, we're still bringing you all the entertainment news with the showbiz beats and also all your phone calls with What's Good. We love to hear what's on your mind. And as a little bonus today, I'm going to throw in a little prize to the best phone call during What's Good. We've got a four-pack of tickets to Star Trek in concert at the Hollywood Bowl. This is an amazing event. It's going to be happening on July 8th. This is really cool. What they do is they're going to show the rebooted Star Trek franchise film Star Trek from 2009, the one J.J. Abrams directed. They're going to throw it up on a giant screen, and the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra will be playing its score live, two-picture, and an HD presentation of the film up on the Bowl's big screen. This is really cool to watch a movie and hear all the music performed live by the Los Angeles Philharmonic at the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to be a really cool evening. Four tickets for Star Trek in concert at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th for the best call in What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? What's good? Let's start with Ray in Burbank. See what's good with Ray. Ray, what's on your mind, sir?
Mr. Ralph.
What's up?
Wanted to see if you were going to do the pilgrimage this year to San Diego Comic-Con, and wanted to see if you wanted to do little drinky drinks.
Are you asking him out on a date, Ray? Is that what's going on?
I think he is.
You asked me on a Comic-Con picnic, date?
Picnic blanket, you know, sure, a couple
Go on.
Bottles.
Sure, okay.
Well, you know, I know that you you like the...
Yeah, I do like that. You got that right.
And everybody, you know, is going on vacation, you know, and Chip seems to be running everything pretty well over there. So, hey. Why not?
Well, here's the good news, Ray. The good news is that I can almost with 100% certainty, let's call it 99% certainty, tell you that the entire Kevin and Bean Morning Show will be broadcasting from Comic-Con this year.
Wow, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, we're all going to be down there, and we're going to be there for the entire con. So we'll have details as we get closer, but not only will I be down there, but Kevin and Bean's going to be down there. We're going to have Ali, of course, I think Dave the King of Mexico, Christine. We're all going to be broadcasting from down there. So we'll give you details as we get closer, but we'll absolutely get that drink, Ray, when we're down there, okay?
Beautiful. Cheers.
All right, buddy. Thank you, sir. Let's talk to Rochelle from Sundland. Love to hear what's on her mind. Hey, Rochelle, what's good?
Hey, I just want to give a shout-out again to the firefighters. They're working really hard, and they deserve a good shout-out. I was actually at the lake this weekend, and I was at Lake Piru, which has one way in, one way out, and a car fire started up, and it was literally like flames were 10 feet high, 10 feet out.
Oh, boy.
And the mountainside, luckily because the fire responders came so quickly, nothing got caught up, and we were not trapped and almost dead. So just a shout out to all the hardworking guys out there and women. It was really close. So, yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you're okay, Rochelle, but you're absolutely right. The firefighters are doing amazing work. This time of year is just brutal for them, and this intense heat, it's going to be in the hundreds again, I think, in the valley.
Yeah.
And from San Gabriel up to Santa Barbara, every place, there's wildfires everywhere, and they do remarkable work, and we're glad you're okay. But thanks for reminding us to thank those guys.
For sure.
All right, Thank you so much. Bye. Let's talk about something really important now. Let's talk to Sam in Yakima, Washington, calling from Washington State. He's got some breaking news that we really need to talk about. Sam, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? glad to be on here with you guys. I've been listening to KRX since back when Poor Man was there. That's how old I am.
Thank you, Sam. What's good, man?
Dude, what's up with these Mac and Cheetos? People are literally causing traffic jams to get into Burger King to pay $3 to get four pieces of fried cheese that's going to kill them.
Okay, now, for those who aren't familiar, can you describe what you're talking about? Because I've not had these yet, but it's a new item at Burger King, right?
Yeah, think of just your regular fried cheese stick, right?
Except yeah.
They combined the outer hard layer of Cheetos, which has a Cheeto powder, but the inside is macaroni and cheese.
Oh. Yummy!
Oh man, you know what? That sounds kind of worth making a traffic jam for. Have you tried them yet?
Actually, I did. I tried it the other day, and I was absolutely disgusted to even try it. But then I ate it, and I was like, oh, crap, these are good.
All right, there you go. Sam has reviewed the new Mac and Cheetos from Burger King, and he says they're good. I got to get some now. Can we talk to Kyle on line one? Because he's thinking what I was thinking last night. Kyle in Buena Park. Hey, Kyle, what's good, man?
Hey, Ralph, Chip, how are you guys?
Good,
hey,
sir. What's good?
Oh, man, Veep.
Ooh, right?
How good was that?
Last episode of this season's Veep was on last night, and I was impressed by how brave they were to completely take a turn away from what we had known that show to be, and now they're going off in a new direction.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little more sad than I expected it to be, but Jonah Ryan, my God, how funny is that guy?
Oh, he's so funny. And so is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She shouldn't get another Emmy this year for her work. I mean, and plus Hugh Laurie's work. I mean, everybody, the whole cast has been amazing, but it's been a terrific season.
I agree, Ralph.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. And let's close out with Reese. Reese in Brentwood has a take on a new video that just dropped. Reese, what's good, man?
Hey, babe. First time in a long time. Kanye's famous video.
Now, I haven't seen this yet, but it's him naked in bed with a bunch of famous people, right?
Yes. Now, this brings up for me how I am at odds with his genius, because that is empirically true of him. He's a genius, but he is so weird and not anyone I think any of us would really like hanging out with. Like, remember when you were in school and we were all at the lunch table, and like when Kanye would walk in, we'd all very silently to one another go, "Oh God, here comes Kanye. Hey, Kay, what's up, man? Listen, we gotta go."
Yeah, but, no room at the table.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, he's so, like, you look at it and you can't look away, but I can't stop thinking, like, how soon will Taylor Swift sue him? Because like, that's her likeness, but is it really? And it's sort of brilliant, but, you know, he's the genius we deserve, but is he really the genius we need right now?
Well, he tweeted that. He said, "Will someone please sue me?" He's looking for someone to sue him
exactly.
Over this video.
He's literally looking for trouble,
yeah.
Which, again, like, is it a display of his genius? Are we just, like, two steps away from watching him completely fall off the train, and then his next work will be coming from inside the walls of some sanitarium, and it will be the highest selling album of all time.
What's the point of thinking,
Kanye? You're right. I think Kanye's arrogance gets in the way of all his good work. If he would put a video like this out there without all of the hype and who's going to sue me, and without trying to poke the bear, I think we'd all be a lot more appreciative of the kind of work that he
does. Yeah, a lot of his music he makes I love, but the fact that he's such an a-hole, I can't.
So unlikable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard.
He cannot get out of his own way, and I can't look away. It's like a crash on the other side of the freeway, and I'm just slowing down traffic.
I agree, Reese. Thanks so much for calling in, man. That's all the time we have for What's Good. Let's give our tickets away for this Star Trek thing. Well, I think, look, it's a geeky thing, right? I think Ray and Burbank would probably get the biggest kick out of this. Let's give them four tickets for Star Trek in concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Ray, you're going to go Star Trek with a live orchestra accompaniment at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th. Thanks for calling What's Good, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Enjoy.
What's Good?
There are a lot of sports that get covered on ESPN. When you turn on the ESPN, you expect to see either SportsCenter or you expect to see some sort of live sporting event for
right.
The most part, I would think. You want to see some football. You want to see some basketball. For many of us, baseball. But then every once in a while, maybe those aren't going on, and you tune in and they're doing, poker. Or they're doing bass fishing. I mean, they got a lot of...
Oh, Lord, don't get me started on bass fishing.
They got a lot of
the worst
hours.
Shows ever.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
They're so bad.
They cover softball sometimes, pool, competitive cheerleading. They have covered Scrabble competitions in the past. Cup stacking is another favorite of mine that has been on ESPN. Probably not on the main channel. That was probably on the Dose or the Trace or maybe as low as the Ocho. But I came across something the other day that was new to me, and that is, you know the spelling bees, Kevin, and I know how you feel about the spelling bees.
Sure.
This was a math bee.
Ugh.
These were mathletes on ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you all please rise and applaud as I announce your starting lineup for the Math Pounds National Competition!
Nope.
Come on, no,
Alabama!
All right, so I guess if you make,
I guess if you make enough
noise, enough racket at the beginning, it sounds like something exciting is happening, right? If you just bring the energy.
I feel like the more boring the issue is, then the more you have to hype and yell and music and crowd going crazy.
So you heard him introduce Alabama. So then they went through all 50 states. And this is, I mean, there are hundreds of kids involved in this. These are middle school students who are there to do math. All right, so he goes through all the rest of the states down to the last one, which I think maybe is Wyoming or something, and then...
Welcome, athletes, coaches, parents, sponsors, volunteers, and guests. Give yourselves a hat.
This guy is working it, isn't he?
By the way, this might not be the time for this, but really... I think we've gotten enough use out of give yourselves a hand.
I think so.
Doesn't matter if you're at a concert, where you're at. I don't need to give myself a hand. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Back
right.
to you.
We're not there to applaud us.
Right.
All right. So then the host of the competition comes out, and he lays down a little bit about the prizes and about some of the rules.
So one of these mathletes will become the 2016 national champion and the recipient of the $20,000 Dinell G. Weinertz College Scholarship. All right, so the Countdown Round competition is a single elimination bracket tournament where the top four seeds will have a bye in the first round. I will read a question while it is being projected on the monitor in front of the students and also on the large screen for the audience. Students will have 45 seconds to solve the problem after it appears on the monitor.
By the way, I wanted to include that because in the time that I was watching, I never saw anyone use even 10 seconds of that time to answer the question.
Really?
So these kids have been, they come from all over the country, and they have already been pre-screened, and they just had a big written competition the day before, and these are the best of the best. They, I don't know, it was about 32 kids or something like that who are competing for this grand prize, a $20,000 scholarship, and a visit to space camp, by the way. So again, they're middle schoolers, and I thought it might be fun for us to see how we would do on some of these math
please.
No need.
Look, no need indeed.
I'm terrible at math.
Same.
But I have to tell you, I didn't even understand the questions that they were being asked. And these are 13-year-olds, and let's see how they do.
If A star B is defined as A times B plus 3, what is the absolute difference between the quantity 10 star 11
and 6?
6 is the correct answer.
Okay. What did he even say?
I know, right?
Where, by the way, did you edit
between the question and the answer?
No, that was how fast he came up with it. Let me see him. Let me go back. I can go back in that.
A star B is defined as A times B plus 3. What is the absolute difference between the quantity 10 star 11?
Edward. 6.
What? So 6 is the correct answer.
Was he even finished with the question?
I don't even know what the question was.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was like when you're watching Jeopardy and you read faster than Alex is reading it. It's the same thing, except these are equations up on the board. So he got that one. Let's see what else we got.
Todd tells Juanita that he is thinking of a 3-digit positive integer.
7.
The integer has 12 positive factors. The sum of 2 of its factors is 23, and the difference of those two factors is 1.
9.
132.
132 is the correct answer.
What is happening?
Oh, again, man. Kids are like 12, 13 years old, 14 maybe.
Maybe this is fake.
No, it's not. It's not fake, and it's not edited.
It's hard to believe anybody's that good at math. Positive integer that is divisible by 2, 3, 4, and 5, and is also a perfect square, perfect cube, fourth power, and fifth power, can be written in the form a to the b for positive integers a and b. What is the least possible value of a plus b?
Cube.
Apple.
Alex.
90.
90 is the correct answer.
I would never have come up with 90.
Well, who would?
What's happening here? What language are these kids speaking?
I don't know.
They're speaking I'm never going to get a girl language. That's but what they should make the grand prize is when they turn 18, they are guaranteed one date.
Okay.
Kevin.
I was thinking about you, Kevin, when I was watching this, and I was thinking that all you would be doing is making fun of these nice little Asian and Indian kids. And by the way, they were all Asian and Indian kids. But then I was thinking, thank God for them, because one day we may want to go to Mars. We may want to build the Hyperloop. There's a lot of things these kids are going to be able to do that would never be done in the world if it weren't for them.
But I'm saying, what won't they do? And that's date a woman, so why not
take increasing sequence of integers, a sub 1, a sub 2, a sub 3, and so on. The median of the first k terms is precisely k, for each k is greater than or equal to 1. What is the value of a sub 2016?
A sub base.
A sub spades.
Alex.
4033.
I'm sorry, that is not the correct answer.
What?
What?
Kill him!
Ben.
4031.
4031 is the correct answer.
fall on your sword.
So Alex is a dick, right?
Right.
So there you go. There's your ESPN math bee. So congratulations to the winner, by the way, Edward Wan. He goes to Lakeside Middle School in Seattle. So he is 13 years old. He won. You're right. No girls, but he does have $20,000 for college. Yes, Wan. That's correct. You guys ever been to Iceland?
No.
No.
How come?
Bjork.
Really? Bjork is keeping you out of the whole country?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Seems dull.
Those blue lagoons and all that. That looks amazing.
Okay. I love Iceland. I've only been the one time. I did spend a vacation there a few years ago. And yes, the Blue Lagoon is great. They have beautiful black sandy beaches. They've got the largest glacier in Europe. The Vatnajökull is there in Iceland. Just gorgeous forests. It's a beautiful island nation. It's very popular with people in Europe as a weekend or a vacation destination. A lot of people from Europe go. Not too many people from America go to Iceland. And Iceland Air has been doing the best job they can on trying to encourage us to travel to Iceland. They've unveiled a couple of new strategies recently. One of them is you can have a stopover in Iceland. Like, let's say you're going to Paris. Well, why not stop in Iceland, spend a day or 2 days or 3 days in Iceland, and then continue on to France, and there's no additional charge for the stopover. It is considered part of the same ticket.
Okay.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
No additional charges.
I don't know what I'm going to do for six of those days, but okay.
So that's thing one. Thing two is you can order a stopover buddy. Now, this is an Iceland Air employee who will meet up with you while you're in country for free and show you around.
Is that code?
Right?
I don't think so. I don't think this is a Craigslist personal ad.
I've got a lot of stopover buddies.
Is that the final answer on the name?
Stopover buddy. Yes,
that's
is
it?
What
They've
the name is.
Agreed on that?
For instance, Birkir 41 is one of the available buddies. He will offer passengers a tour of his hometown and a day of backcountry skiing, for instance. You could also pair up with Margaret. She is a flight attendant of 30 years with Iceland Air, who is
an expert
on geothermal springs. Allie, that's who you would take to the Blue Lagoon, and she would tell you all about how it works.
Okay.
There is Inga. Kevin, I think Inga might be your speed. She is 45 years old, and she is an expert in cooking traditional Icelandic fish dishes. So you can get together with Inga, and she will cook you a meal.
That sounds so much like Kevin would enjoy it.
Perfect. Perfect.
So I just think this is a great idea for people who want to experience the reality of the country with a native. Like, if you don't know anybody in Iceland, this is perfect. But we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, could you line us up somebody with Icelandic Air? And I believe that we do have a person on the phone.
Yes, it's Stig Vildander.
Oh,
hi, Stig. How are you?
Is that how you say it?
Is that right, Stig?
No, it's not quite right how you said my name.
Okay,
there.
I'm sorry. How do you say your name?
It's Stig Viklander.
Viklander.
Oh. Viklander. Yes. Okay. All right, Stig. So you work with Iceland Air. You're one of the available stopover buddies?
No, I don't do it myself.
Oh.
I'm just spokesperson for the airlines.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, so you can tell us what's available.
Some other people who work for the airlines, they're doing it. Because they're not as easily creeped out as I am.
You know, you think this is a creepy idea? I think it's very friendly.
Yes, very friendly. Hey, stranger person, come now with me in my own automobile, and I'll show you the things we have here.
But the people work for Icelandic Air. They have been vetted by your company.
No, our end is good. It's the people are coming. The lonely single one-person travel man. Who is like, oh, he has no friends. That can't be healthy for anybody.
So you're afraid of the American that shows up on his own. You think he may be up to no good.
Me, personally, I am for sure. But the other, Bikir and Margaret and Sven and Inga, they're all fine with it. So I wish them a quick, a peaceful death.
Well, nobody needs to die here. Come on, Stig.
No one needs to die, but probably will, though.
Stig.
Right? Think about it. What's up with this person wanting to travel by self? That's an odd thing. In fact, the whole program began starting with our CEO, Birkum Holt Gudmundsson.
Okay.
He saw one person traveling in Iceland many years ago.
Uh-huh.
He said it was an impossibly tall, gangly, single-person man.
Okay.
With ponytails, and he had on a checkered shirt, looked like came from Cracker Barrel.
I see what's happening here.
And he was carrying a sock monkey.
Okay.
Things to have, obviously... loneliest person Bekir has ever seen. He cried for so many weeks thinking of the lonely, single, weirdo American man who has no friends. And he showed us pictures and told story to a whole company of employees, and we all cried and cried for the lonely, sad, weird, twisted man.
It wasn't like the Stag.
It was all strange. Look, he looked like an elderly lesbian, really. Remember Temple Grandin? You ever seen that show?
Yes, we know what you're talking
about. Temple Grandin, who had sort of an Asperger's but could talk to a horse better than a person.
Right,
and
we
so we all looked at this thing, and this creature that was traveling by itself, and we're like,
this should never
be happening for anyone.
Right.
We should put our own personal safety at risk, and we should make sure everyone who comes to Iceland has someone who can pretend to be a friend for the lonely, scary,
on vacation.
Weird people.
Was it scary? I was just traveling alone on vacation, having the time of my life in your beautiful country.
I'm sorry. What now? It was you, sir?
Yes, that's what we've been trying to tell you. It was me. That was me who came to Iceland on vacation by myself.
Imagine the shock and surprise from me now.
Hey!
Woo!
It's 8:53 here on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean, not included. The boys are taking a little time off. Allie McKay also enjoying a day of vacation. Who needs them, Chip? We have us.
That's all you need.
You have me, your radio pal Ralph Garman, and you've got Chip the Wonder Monkey pushing the buttons. That's all you need. And we're bringing you live showbiz beats each and every hour, and also giving away some amazing stuff all week long. It's going to be very trekky up in here. We've got a lot of Star Trek stuff going on. We already gave away this morning 4 tickets to the amazing Star Trek in Concert event happening at the Hollywood Bowl, where they show the Star Trek movie from 2009 with a live orchestra playing the score, accompanying the film being projected in HD on the giant screen there at the Bowl. But, of course, you know, the new Star Trek film is also coming out, Star Trek Beyond. And we are going to have an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond at the AMC Burbank on July 20th.
Yay!
Yeah, it's really cool. We're going to give away some tickets so you can see it before anybody else on July 20th. The film is in theaters on July 22nd. But I just want to hand these out. I just want to give these away because you also win a chance and you will qualify for a grand trip prize to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. So you will head to San Diego with a guest to explore the world surrounding Comic-Con, and then you attend the premiere of Star Trek Beyond with a 2-night, 3-trip day trip to San Diego. To top it off, the San Diego Symphony Orchestra will be enhancing the premiere with a live performance of the score as well. So it's just like the Hollywood Bowl, only this is the brand new Star Trek Beyond movie. Outdoors, IMAX, San Diego, during Comic-Con. It's an amazing thing. You will qualify for that as well as get tickets to the advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond. What we're going to do is have a little Star Trek trivia question at the top of the hour. Star Trek trivia game. I'm going to ask you questions about the original Star Trek TV series, because this film, of course, is a reboot of that franchise and all those characters. So what we're going to do is talk about the original Star Trek series from the 60s. If you're a Star Trek fan of the original series, I'm going to be asking some trivia questions.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Yes, I love you.
I love you too, Doto. So if you know your Star Trek trivia from the original series, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. After top of the hour, we'll be asking Star Trek trivia questions. And if you get the answer right, you'll not only win tickets for the advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond in Burbank, but also you'll be qualified for the grand prize for the premiere of Star Trek Beyond at Comic-Con in San Diego, outdoors, IMAX. It's way cool.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
It will indeed, Rodney. Let's talk movies, top 10 movies at the box office. For a Monday morning, Finding Dory in its second week, still number one, $73.2 million. Amazing. Crushing it. Independence Day Resurgence debuted this weekend, but only made $41.6 million, falling behind Finding Dory. Then Central Intelligence was third. The Shallows, in its debut, made $16.7 million. And Free State of Jones debuted with $7.8 million, making it number five. Then The Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and Alice Through the Looking Glass. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office.
How many times do you think Kevin saw Independence Day this weekend?
Oh, I didn't. At first I saw it, and then I forgot that I saw it, and went again to see
resurgence, and it was aliens came to Earth and shot up London, and it was Good Louds movie. Brexit was Kevin's review, if I remember properly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't want family or friends.
Okay.
And I think that's probably how Elvis Presley feels right now. We don't do obviously a lot of Elvis news, but yeah, this story is pretty crappy, in my opinion. Elvis Presley, of course, you know, famously died in the 70s while on the turlet. He mm-hmm. was, according to the autopsy, he was struggling.
Yeah.
And had a massive heart attack and fell off the king fell off the throne and went face down into the shag carpeting there in his bathroom. And by the way, kudos to Elvis for having shag carpeting in his yeah. bathroom. You don't see that very often. But now there's a new book out called My Brother Elvis, written by a guy named David Stanley, who apparently is Elvis's stepbrother when his mom married Elvis's dad. He claims that Elvis may have committed suicide that night in Graceland. He said there were pills and needles all over his private bathroom, which the staff quickly got rid of when they found the body. Well, there were probably pills and needles all over that house all the time because Elvis did a ton of pills and needles.
Yeah, they just wanted to probably clear all the evidence of all that.
Right. They were trying to keep up the illusion at the time was that Elvis was a pretty clean living Southern boy who loved God and his mama and rock and roll. So it doesn't mean he OD'd on purpose. Apparently, there's a lot of dirty laundry in this book that this scumbag's trying to sell about his late stepbrother, including, he said, Elvis was so drugged up towards the end of his life that he couldn't even get to the bathroom fast enough at night, so there was a lot of cleaning up to do, and was so drugged he would often fall asleep at the dinner table and the food had to be physically removed from his mouth so he wouldn't choke on it.
What the hell?
You don't want to be pulling a banana nana sandwich, peanut butter sandwich out of Elvis's
gullet,
sleepy yeah. mouth at the table. That's a bad job.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all in this book, and it comes out on August 16th, which is the 39th anniversary of Presley's death, and it just seems like a big money grab, and this guy's a scumbag for doing it. Even if all those things are true, if that guy's your stepbrother, if
maybe
you have any
so
feelings for him at yeah. all, You let those stories die.
Yeah.
You let those go be buried with Elvis, but not this piece of work. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. J.J. Abrams talking about the reborn Star Trek franchise. He brought that franchise back to life as well as the new Star Wars franchise, of course. He is 50 years old today. Tobey Maguire is 41. Ed Westwick is 29. Alana Masterson is 28. And Chandler Riggs of Walking Dead is 17. If you want to go see the new Star Trek Beyond movie and you want to qualify for a grand trip to San Diego to see the premiere and you know your Star Trek trivia, the original Star Trek, the original series with Kirk and Spock and McCoy and those guys, if you know your trivia, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to give away those tickets with a game right after this. That's Spaceman by The Killers. How appropriate. We're playing Spaceman because we're going to be giving away tickets to Star Trek Beyond. We're doing an advanced screening of the brand new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond. It's going to be at the AMC Burbank on July 20th, a couple days before the movie comes out. But not only will you get a pair of passes at that, you will qualify to win our grand prize, which is a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond, the premiere at the first ever outdoor IMAX event. It's going to be amazing. You'll be down there during Comic-Con. You're going to be down there in San Diego. You're going to be outdoors watching an IMAX presentation of Star Trek Beyond. And there's going to be the San Diego Symphony Orchestra playing the score live along with the film. This is really cool. So I thought we'd do a little Star Trek trivia game that I like to call Trivia Trek. All right, what we're going to do is ask you questions. Trivia questions about the original Star Trek TV series from the 60s. And if you know them, boom, you're in. You win, you're in. It's that simple. We've got five pairs of tickets to give away. So let's get right to it. Let's go to Darlo first in Glendale. Darlo?
Hi.
Hey, buddy. You know your Star Trek trivia?
I think so.
All right. Let's find out. As you know, Mr. Spock, played by Leonard Nimoy, of course, in the original Star Trek series, he is a half-breed. He is both half Vulcan and half human. Do you know the name
of his parents, his Vulcan father and his human mother? Do you know their names?
Yes, I believe his father's name was Sarek.
Yes.
And his mother's name was Amanda.
Boom! Way to go, Darlo. You're in. You're gonna, all right. You're going to see the screening, and you'll also be entered to win that grand prize as well. Hold on, okay?
Sweet. Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty easy.
Yeah, right?
All right, let's go to Mike in Bellflower. Let's see what he knows about Star Trek. Mike?
Yes.
How are you, sir? You know your Star Trek trivia?
It's been a while, but I think I still do.
Okay. Star Trek, of course, the Enterprise is their big vessel there. When they want to leave that vessel, they use a smaller one called a shuttlecraft. What was the first shuttlecraft features in the Star Trek TV series? What was the name and call number of that shuttlecraft?
Was that the Galileo?
Yeah, but I need a number. You have to give me a number after the Galileo.
Oh, shoot. A number?
Yeah.
It was then 1701, was it? I don't remember the number.
You don't remember the number? You know, damn, no. Close enough. We're going to give you tickets. The Galileo 7. The Galileo 7 was the name of the first shuttlecraft shown. Hey, don't worry about it. You won anyway. Hold on. We're going to give you those tickets, okay?
Thank you.
Entered into the grand prize. So far, we're 2 for 2. Sweet.
Woo!
Let's go to Caesar in Northridge. Caesar?
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, buddy. Here is your Star Trek trivia question. Captain James T. Kirk was born on March 22nd in the year 2233. Do you know his hometown? What city on Earth was Captain Kirk born in?
I know the city is Kansas.
No, sorry about that, Caesar. Riverside, Iowa. We're looking for Riverside, Iowa.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you for trying, man. That was kind of a tough one, but I thought a real Star Trek fan might get that. Let's go to Kent in Riverside, shall we?
Hey, Ralph. What's going on?
Hey, Kent.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. In Star Trek, in the pilot, before Captain Kirk became the captain of the Enterprise, there was a different commanding officer of the USS Enterprise who then showed up later in the series when Kirk was the captain. Do you know the first captain of the Enterprise?
That's Captain Pike, Jeremy, I believe.
We'll take it. It's Captain Christopher Pike, but close
Christopher
enough.
Pike.
You got it. You got tickets. You're going to see the screening and be entered in for the grand prize, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Take care.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Monrovia next. So far, we're giving away 3 pairs. So far, so good. Steve?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Let me see what you know about Star Trek, okay?
Sure.
In the episode of the Star Trek original series called Space Seed, there was a villain featured that came back to haunt Kirk and the rest of the crew in the Star Trek movies. Do you know what villain was the bad guy in the episode called Space Seed?
I believe it was Khan!
Khan! You're right, sir. Well done. You're going to see the screening and you're entered into the grand prize drawing as well.
Thank you.
All right, we've got one more pair to give away. Let's see what we can do here. Let's go to Mark in Beverly Hills. Mark?
Hi.
Hey there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Mark, here's your Star Trek, the original series trivia question. See if you can get this. This actress not only played Nurse Christine Chapel on the series, but also voiced the ship's computer on the series and was married to Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry. Do you know her name?
Let me see.
While you're Googling, can you have a guess?
No, I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, sorry. Her name is Majel Barrett. Sorry about that. Well done. Well played, sir. Let's try, let's see, one more. How about Chris in Garden Grove? Chris?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah,
hey, man.
Of course.
Here's your trivia question. Pretty simple if you're a Star Trek fan, okay?
Uh-oh. I'm on the line now.
Uh-oh. What's the Enterprise's serial number?
The Enterprise 1701.
Yeah. Can you give us the whole serial number?
Yeah, of course. 1701-, no bloody A, no bloody C. It's NCC-1701.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Congratulations. You're going to the screening, and you're going to be entered into that grand prize drawing of the trip to San Diego to see the IMAX premiere as well. Thank you, man. Hold on. Well done, nerds. Those
nerds!
Are my people. You've come out and supported. We appreciate it. Congratulations to all the winners.
You guys use the Waze app to get around town?
I do.
Do you turn the volume on so that you can hear the step-by-step directions, or do you just look at them on the screen?
I turn on the volume.
I hate listening to the Waze. I hate it because you're listening to something on the radio. or you're listening to music or something like that, and you got someone yapping in your car.
Well, you don't have to turn it on, B.
I don't like it.
Okay, that's fine.
But for those who do, it's a golden time to be alive because there are so many choices you can have on whose voice it is you're listening to give you directions. Morgan Freeman now, he's starring in a new film, and as part of the promotion for that, they got Morgan Freeman to record directions. Here's a little bit of what that sounds like if you choose his setting on your ways.
The American people are counting on you to drive. Let's go. In 0.1 miles, turn left. Make a U-turn. Let's keep our enemies guessing. You've arrived. It's been my honor and duty to see you through this mission.
Does he have the best voice of anyone on Earth,
ever,
by the way? Yes. All right. Then I don't know why anyone would ever choose Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, but maybe this would be Beer Mug's choice because that way he could think about food while he was driving. But here's what that sounds like.
Let's hit the road. Not literally. That would hurt. Turn left. And then turn left. You've reached your destination, but I vote we keep going.
That's the worst ever.
That's terrible, and it's also a little creepy.
Right.
You would drive your car into a lake if you had to listen to that for more than a couple
minutes. Sounds like it'd be in a white panel then.
I don't understand this setting for Waze, but apparently they couldn't afford to get the actual New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys, so they call this setting generic boy band.
All set. Let's go. In 0.1 miles. Turn right, and then turn right. Keep left.
Nope.
Hate that so much.
No, sir. Once you got past Vice President Morgan Freeman, they're not good choices. All right. Now, I haven't heard this clip, but apparently there are now Kevin and or Bean voices that you can choose for Waze.
Oh, dear.
I don't even remember doing this. But apparently there is a setting, for instance, you can hear me give you directions as you're driving around town.
Voila! Okay, it's time to drive. Make sure to drive your car safely. Did you know that Henry Ford invented the assembly line that allowed people to mass produce cars? I love that story. In 1.3 miles, make a left. Make sure you say left. With the T at the end. A lot of people say left. That bothers me. up ahead, there's a road hazard. Some sort of accident. What? Why don't they tell me what's involved in the accident? How many cars are in that accident? What sort of vehicles? There's never enough information. In 3.2 miles, bear left.
Turn this one off.
But be careful. Up above, there's a road hazard. I bet it's a tire. You always see tires in roads, or ladders. What's up with ladders in the road? Who invented the rubber tire for cars? Was it Mr. Firestone? Or Mr. Goodrich? Or Mr. Goodyear? I like to ask questions that you don't have the answers to. In 2.6 miles, there's an IHOP on the right. I know you didn't plug that in, but I thought you'd like to know. In 2.6 miles, there's a lovely woman in a car next to you.
Oh, no.
Roll down your window and say, you're pretty.
Oh, no, don't. Don't do that.
What? What's wrong with that? Daddy like you.
Oh, no.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. I thought that guy made a lot of good points.
I'm turning that one right off, and I'm turning on the Kevin.
Welcome to your car. You're now going. You're driving. You should drive now. In 24.16 miles, you should make a right. Left, right. Hold on. Left. I'm pretty sure it's left. Oh, coming up next is a construction zone area. And just go through it. It's so dumb, stupid. Slow down. Go fast. In 4.6 miles, you just make a right, and then another right, and then a right, and then make another right. Okay. Coming up, Get off the freeway. Get off. No, stay on. Go to the next exit and stay on past that exit too.
What?
In one mile or seven, you'll be at your destination. Hey, it's great news. You're at your destination. Oh, shit. This is the wrong place. That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad. That was on me. Hey, you wanna go get some mac and cheese?
It's a good choice.
You're listening to the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. It is 9:40. No, 9:39 actually.
Yeah, close enough.
In the morning, we are. It's better if I say a little bit later, then people get there faster and they say, "Oh, I cut a minute off my time."
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of time, we just played a bit where we had Kevin and Bean's Waze voices.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard that or not, but I want to thank listener Chris Coy for listening and for writing in. He said, "Ralph, I was driving and listening to Kevin and Bean's Waze voices, and I was laughing so hard that I completely ignored my real Waze voice directions and somehow ended up on the completely wrong freeway. Worth it." Thanks, Chris. Thank you, Chris, for listening. We appreciate it. And that's our goal here, really, is to completely F up your mornings and have you end up in a place you really don't belong. It's very entertaining. Speaking of cars and things you stick on them, the new 2016 K-Rock Summer Sticker is now available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. Get your new K-Rock sticker at Hot Topic, and then go to krock.com and enter the password on the back of the sticker to win K-Rock's Home Invasion with 21 Pilots. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah! It plays at your house.
That's hot!
A private performance by 21 Pilots at your home. That's a cool prize.
That's pretty rad.
And for the hell of it, we'll throw in a 2016 Honda Civic, too.
Why not?
How about that? You can go to krock.com for all the details, but get your new sticker at Hot Topic. It's really cool. It's a good-looking sticker. Okay, it is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office on Monday mornings in the Showbiz Beat. Finding Dory, number one for the second week in a row. $73.2 million made it number one. Independence Day Resurgence came in at number two with $41.6 million. Then Central Intelligence, The Shallows, new film with Blake Lively, number four. Free State of Jones, new Matthew McConaughey historical drama, is fifth. Conjuring 2 came in at number 6. Now You See Me 2 was 7th. X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and Alice Through the Looking Glass round out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sorry, fellas. Victoria's Secret supermodel Xenia Deli is off the market.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Yeah, Bean, you had a shot. She is 26 years old. She is stunning, and she married a 62-year-old named Osama Faithi Rabath al-Sharif. Now you're saying to yourself, what would a stunning 26-year-old supermodel want with a 62-year-old Egyptian? Well, it probably doesn't hurt that he's a billionaire. And so they got married, and she showed off a picture with her husband on Instagram saying that the day they got married would be engraved in her heart forever. Or at least until the prenup comes to pass and she cashes out. That's tragic. Prince's one-of-a-kind Yellow Cloud electric guitar was sold at auction on Saturday in Beverly Hills, California. Heritage Auctions put the guitar up for bid. It was his stage guitar from the 80s into the mid-90s. And it sold for $137,500.
Wow.
That's a good price for a used guitar. The owner was, the winning bidder, rather, was Indianapolis Colt owner Jim Irsay. He's a big collector of rock and roll memorabilia and guitars especially. So he's got another one for his collection. And The Bachelorette is tonight.
Woo!
Very excited. Tomorrow we will have Petros Papadakis joining us on the show to do the Bachelorette Report while we talk about JoJo and her journey. See if the boys are in it for the right reasons. However, I'm sure we're going to have to cover the fact that Justin Bieber came out as a Bachelorette fan this week. Kind of makes it harder to defend watching The Bachelorette when Bieber's...
puts his stink on it.
Yeah, puts his stink all over it. And, of course, as you can imagine, Bieber said he was rooting for Chad before Chad got the boot earlier this month. How appropriate that Bieber thought Chad would be the right guy for JoJo. By the way, Chad, it has been officially announced we'll be returning for Bachelor in Paradise later this summer. So you haven't seen the last of Chad yet.
I'm just glad I'm still alive in the pool.
Who do you have in the pool?
Jordan.
You have Jordan? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I know you guys have had an ass of him. But,
well, he's kind of a douche, but he's got to be the front runner. I have Alex, the diminutive but stocky Marine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now that he was responsible for getting rid of Chad, I believe his days are numbered. I think maybe I will be out of the pool soon. We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. J.J. Abrams is 50 years old today. Tobey Maguire turns 41. Ed Westwick, 29 years old today. And Alana Masterson celebrates her 28th birthday. Chandler Riggs, Carl from The Walking Dead, is 17. All those celebrities born on today, June 27th. Make sure you come back tomorrow. We'll be doing the Showbiz Beat. We'll talk to Petros, of course, as I mentioned, about the Bachelorette, doing the Bachelorette Report. And I've got more tickets to give away to the big screening of Star Trek Beyond and a chance to win the grand prize attending the premiere in San Diego during Comic-Con. It's going to be a blast. Join us tomorrow, won't you, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
But remember how awesome Honda is?
Oh, I almost forgot about how awesome Honda is. Honda is awesome because you know what they're going to do for us? They're going to give us an hour free from commercials at the 5 o'clock hour. All music, no commercials, thanks to our friends at Honda. It is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda people, so we want to thank them for the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. Listen to it on your drive home. And then tune in tomorrow to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bye.